Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
That was awesome. They did such a great job, didn't they?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I think we got the cutest kids, for sure. I mean, other churches might think they have the cutest kids, but I think we really do, right? I mean, they are adorable, and it's so fun to watch all of them grow up and just, wow. Some of the kids that, when I first started coming to BBC, they're grown up and have kids now, so that really makes me feel old, but that's okay. Amen. But we're going to finish up our series today, and I promise I'm going to get you out of here on time. I know that's probably a stretch for some of you to believe, but today is Mother's Day, and I know you probably got some plans. You're going to take your mom out, and I just encourage you, if your mom is still with you, regardless of your relationship, maybe your relationship's a little rocky, and sometimes when us girls get older, our relationship with our mom gets rocky, I just encourage you to call your mom. You know, you won't always have her with you, so give her a call, tell her how much you love her, let the past be the past, amen? And I share this story a lot. You know, I had a great mom. I still do. She's in heaven. She's probably mothering Jesus up there. And, you know, she's cooking for everyone up in heaven. But I had a great mom. And but, you know, how many ladies know that when you get older, sometimes it's hard to see eye to eye with your mom a little bit? I mean, it's just kind of normal and natural as life progresses. And I'll never forget, God is so good. I was driving down Lake Road or Lucerne, whichever one goes east. And I was driving down the road, and the Lord just rose up real big in my heart, and he said, you know, you need to make things right with your mom, or you're really going to regret it. And not that I had, like, a huge problem with my mom, but I just wasn't spending as much time with her as I wanted to. And, you know, life gets you busy, and you work a lot, and so you don't spend that much time. And, you know, it seemed like my mom always wanted to go to thrift stores, you know, and, but, you know, I'm so thankful that I heeded the Lord's words, and I began to rebuild my relationship with my mom, because it was just a few years later that she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And when that happened, we were in such a great place that there was no regret and no missed opportunities and nothing like that. And I'm just so thankful that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees ahead and provides. Amen. And so I'm very thankful for that. And so now I always encourage people, you know, sometimes we don't see eye to eye with our moms. They might get on our nerves a little bit. Somebody say amen. But they're still our mom, and it's important that we honor them. The Bible tells us to honor our parents. And, you know, my mother used to always say that the Bible said for me to obey her when I was 40 years old. And, you know, I would say, Mom, the Bible says children obey your parents. I'm an adult now. All I have to do is honor you. I don't have to obey you anymore. But anyway, so I just encourage all the people in here today that whoever is mom in your life, maybe it was an aunt or someone who mothered you, make sure you appreciate them today and let them know that you're thankful that God put them in your life, right? Well, we're going to close up our series today on why. Somebody say, why? You know, we're doing honest answers to tough questions. And I always say, God's not afraid of your questions. God is big enough to answer any question that you have. And it doesn't mean that you don't love God just because maybe you have a question. And so we've answered some really big questions these last few weeks. The first question we answered was, why would God love somebody like me? Look at your neighbor and say, I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. No, God loves you because God loves everybody. There is no exception to God's love. And so whenever you're feeling unlovable, or maybe you think like, man, I've just made so many mistakes, or I've done so many things, or I'm just so un-whatever, you know, people always think of a million reasons why God would not love them, or why they can't come to church, or why they can't have a relationship with God, and all those are just false, because God loves everyone, and he is open to a relationship with everyone, amen? And so if you wonder, why would God love somebody like me? Because he loves everybody, right? And then we answered a really tough question, was why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen? And we learned through the Word and just through understanding God's Word and the times that we're living in why bad things happen. Most important thing we learned is that God is not the author of bad things. Somebody say, thank goodness, right? Bad things don't come from God. The Bible says only good and perfect things come from him. And I think that's probably one of the number one misconceptions about God is that people think that God does bad things, that God causes earthquakes, or God gives people cancer, or God does this, or God does that. And, you know, God just doesn't do that. He does not do that. And so, and then we said, well, okay, we answered that question. And then last week we answered a really big question, why is church so important? And that was a good one. And you know what, I want to tell everybody a testimony. Last week after we talked about why church is so important, and church is so important because we need one another. I was standing up here after second service, and a lady came up, and she said, she was talking to me, and there was another lady standing there. Both these people go to our church, but they go to different services. You know, you guys are all here at 9:30, and then another group comes at 11:11. Then another group, you know, kind of intermingles, and some other people come on Wednesday. So there's more people than just what you see here. And so these two people did not know each other, but both of them have been coming to our church for a little bit of time. One for a considerable time, and the other maybe, you know, a couple of years. And so the lady comes up, and she was telling me that she had a car problem. And it was going to cost $400 to repair it. How many know $400 is a lot of money? $400 is a lot of money. And so she comes up, she's telling me this, and the other lady is eavesdropping. The nerve. She's eavesdropping. And you know what she says? She walks up to the lady, and she says, how much money do you need for that? And the lady kind of looked at her, and she said, I need $400. And she said, I'll give you that $400. I'll give you that. But here, there's more to the story, because then the lady was like, okay, like, all right, you know, just weirded her out, really, to be honest with you. And so then on Wednesday night, the lady who was giving the money came up to me again and said, I don't think that lady thinks I'm serious, because I've tried to call her to give her this $400, and she's not calling me back. She has my phone number, and I don't think she's serious. And see, that's the thing. Church, that is exactly what the church is for right there. The church is for us to meet each other's needs, not just financially, but emotionally and through friendship and through being there for one another, praying for each other, believing God with each other. And then sometimes the Lord moves on you to help someone financially. And that's what this lady said to me. She said, as soon as I heard her say that she needed $400, she said, the Holy Spirit just jumped up on the inside of me and said, you need to pay that. And so she said, I'm just going to track her down until I can give her that $400. You know, how many know, wouldn't you like somebody to track you down to give you $400, right? But I was so blessed, because that's exactly what church is all about. It's just exactly what church is for. And so, and then just all this week, we've just had so many testimonies, great testimonies coming in of just people loving on each other, blessing each other, being there for each other. And that is what the church is all about. And that's why it's so important. You need church. Look at your neighbor and say, listen, you need church. You've been wanting to tell them that for a long time. I just gave you the opportunity. And so anyway, so today we're going to do a quick answer. And it's, why do I exist? Oh, doesn't that sound good? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Some of you moms are like, you know, why am I here? Sometimes you can feel like it's all about your kids. Why am I here? But really, the thing about it is, we all exist for a purpose. And so we're going to talk today real quick. How many can follow along real quick? We're going to talk about, why do I exist? And I'm sure all of us have wondered one time or another, like, you know, what am I here for? Is there something special that I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, we don't want to just be tourists in our life. You know what a tourist does? How many have seen tourists here in where we live? They go to all the fun places. They go lay by the pool. They don't come down here to work. They just come down here to look at everything, right? That's what tourists do. You don't want to be that in your own life. Don't be a tourist in your own life where you only go to the comfortable places. Let's be pioneers in our life, amen? Let's go where God wants us to go. Let's go where maybe it's not comfortable, but oh, it's going to be so good and so rewarding. Let's go there, right? And so we're going to talk about, why do I exist? Turn over to Matthew. You can follow along in your Bible app if you want. It makes it easy for you. You practically have my notes there on your phone. Just go to the Bible app, click live, and look for BBC. Matthew chapter 6, here we go. We're going to look at verses 31 through 33. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. And it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, or some Bibles say the pagans seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so, you know, the thing about it is, and when it comes to why do we exist, the number one reason that we exist, whether you agree with this or not, it is the truth. We exist to know and to love God. That's why we exist. And, you know, it's kind of like until you get reason number one down, nothing else that you do is going to matter, because it's not at, it's kind of like asking the creation, hey, what am I here for? No, we ask the creator, hey, what am I here for? God made us, and we need to find out from him who we are and what we're made for, and get our drive from him. And when we do that, everything else falls into place. And so number one reason why we exist is to know and to love God. It's kind of like that's just the foundation, the basic thing. You know, if you're going to build something, how many know you got to have a strong foundation? If you don't have a strong foundation, whatever you put on top of it is going to wobble. It's not going to stand strong. It's not going to be able to go through time. And how many want to live this life out? Right? You don't want to cut out early. We want to live this life out. And so we got to make sure we got a firm foundation. That firm foundation is going to come from knowing God and loving God. Because when you know God, here's the truth about when you know God, ultimately you'll know you better. Because nobody knows you like God. How many have ever met somebody with issues? Don't look around. Close your eyes. How many have ever met somebody with issues? You know, don't point. You're like, hello, right? We've met some people with issues. And you think, man, why can't they see that? Why can't they see what's going on? Why can't they see that God has such a better plan for their life? Why can't they see that they're more valuable than that? Why can't they see that they're selling themselves short? Why can't they see that life has so much more joy than what they're living? Why can't they see that? Have you ever met anybody like that? We're just like, why can't you see that? Well, the truth of the matter is, until we see God, we can't see the future God has for us. And so sometimes people stay in a life and a lifestyle of abuse, or a life that's just really beneath them, for lack of a better word, because they don't feel like they're worth anything else. Or they don't feel like they can get anything else. You know, sometimes people stay in relationships that are not for them, that are just so ungodly, where they're not treated well. And we think, man, why do they stay there? Well, sometimes the reason they stay there is because they don't feel like anybody else will love them. They don't feel like anybody else will take them. And see, that's why it's so important that at the beginning of when you begin to say, man, what am I here for? What is my life going to be like? What do I want to do? What do I want to be when I grow up? That you have that firm foundation of knowing God and loving God. Because when you have that, when you know how much God loves you, you don't let other people love you less than you deserve. When you know how much God loves you, you don't sell yourself short. When you know how much God loves you, when something is just not for you, you're like, man, I've got better things for me. God has better things for me than this. Amen? Amen? And so when we say, why do I exist? Let's get a firm foundation. Let's build our life on a truth that will change how we see everything else. Amen. When you know how much God loves you, it's like no matter what comes, no matter what comes through the door, no matter what call you get, no matter what comes in the mail, no matter what people say, you have such a fullness of the love of God that it doesn't rattle you, doesn't shake you. It may rattle you for a minute. It may shake you for a minute, but it doesn't knock you down. You got that love of God in you that's like, you know what? You may not like me, but God loves me. Amen. Amen. This may not be working out the way I thought it was going to, but I know God loves me. I know him. I know he's got a plan for me. I know he is El Shaddai. He is God who is more than enough. Amen. Amen. This is temporary because I know my God. And so if you try to get going before getting with God is never going to work out right. Never. And so number one reason why we're here, why we exist, the thing we got to get first is I got to know God, I got to love God. Because that's what I'm here for. And so here in Matthew, he's talking about and he's saying, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by the things of life that we don't remind ourselves and build ourselves up in how much God loves us. But then he goes on to say here in verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, so often people think, man, if I give my life to God, I'm going to miss out on stuff. Anybody ever thought that? I thought that. You know, I mean, when I was, you know, younger and wanted to give my life to God, I was just like, oh, I'm just going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on all the fun. I'm going to miss out on this, or I'm going to miss out on that. But you know what? When you know the love of God and you know God and you know that when you seek Him, He says you're not going to miss anything. All those things that you were worried about, He's going to add them to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's going to add them to you. Oh, that's so good. And so why am I here? Is that me? It's my necklace. And it's so beautiful, isn't it? Everybody look, look. It's so pretty, right? I'm going to have to take it off. But I'll put on my jacket. There we go. Thank you. Thanks for the help. Appreciate it. Sometimes you just need somebody to be there, right? But you know, the thing is that my necklace is still pretty though, right? Some of you are like, is this church? Yes, if church is supposed to be fun, right? You know, everybody thinks Jesus was so stuffy, but He really wasn't. One of my favorite stories about Jesus, when He's in the crowd and the woman touches Him and He says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, you have all these people around you and you're like, "Who touched you?" And He's like, "Yeah, somebody touched me." You know, Jesus was, he spoke to people just like you speak to people, amen? He just spoke with a lot of power. And so church isn't supposed to be stuffy. It's not supposed to be all religious. We're just supposed to find out about God, to love Him and know Him, right? Amen. And we can do that and have a little fun at the same time. You know, in Hosea, I'm not going to have you look there because, you know, it'll take you 10 minutes to find it. In Hosea chapter, somebody's like, who? Hosea, who? You didn't even know that was in the Bible. In Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6, you know what it talks about? It says, it's about knowing God, not about doing religious things. Don't you love that? It says, one translation says, I don't want your burnt offerings, I want you. Yeah. So church isn't about coming in and doing a bunch of religious things. It's not about coming in and you know, and if this offends you, I hope it doesn't. I just want you to have more of God. Because there's nothing wrong with doing religious things. I mean, holy things. I don't like the word religious, but stuff that's only about the action and not about the Creator. We don't want to do that. God says, I don't want that. God's not after that. He's after your heart. He wants you to know Him and love Him, right? He doesn't care what you have on. Some people are like, what should I wear to church? Just make sure everything's covered and you're going to be all right, you know? I mean, as long as everything's covered, you're going to be fine. You know, and the thing is, somebody's like, oh, can I wear jeans to church? Of course you can wear jeans. Can I wear shorts? Sure, wear shorts. Wear what you want. I think we should honor God, but don't get so hung up on it that you don't come to church. You know, there's people that don't come to church because they're like, oh, I don't have anything to wear. That's craziness, right? I mean, that's just crazy. You got something to wear to Target. Well, if you got something to wear to Target, you got something to wear to church. Amen? It's not about that religious part of it. God says, I don't want that. He wants you. He wants you to know Him and love Him. Let's keep going. Over here in Matthew chapter 22, we're going to look there in 22 verses 36 through 80, 36 through 38, not 88. There is an 88. 36, let me find it because I didn't write it down for some reason. 22 verses 36 through 38. Let's look here. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, these are people talking to Jesus, and it's a whole bunch of religious people, because in verse number 34, it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Listen, if ever anybody ever calls you one of those things, be offended, because you do not want to be a Pharisee, and you don't want to be a Sadducee. You know, a Sadducee is like, we're sad, you see, because they're all about the religion. They're all about the action. They weren't about knowing and loving God. They were more about what kind of clothes they wore, what they ate, how many steps they took in a day, who they talked to, who they didn't talk to. That's what it was all about. And so they're asking Jesus, they're saying like, really, what's the most important law? What's the most important thing? And they say, so teacher, so which is the great commandment in the law? In verse number 37, Jesus said, this is Jesus talking, He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse number 39, He says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But we want to look at verse number 37. He says, listen, this is the most important thing. When Jesus says something is the most important thing, how many think we should listen? Amen. I mean, this isn't like just anybody. This is Jesus saying this. And he's saying it to all the religious people, and they're saying, what's the most important thing? And he said, listen, the most important thing is you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. How many know that's pretty much all of us? He's saying, listen, just give God all you've got and love him with all you've got. That's the most important thing. You know, sometimes people are so hung up on where they've been and what they've done, but you know what God's hung up on? He's hung up on loving you, and he wants you to get hung up on loving him. Amen? You know, so often people come in my office, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm really struggling because I did this and I did this. And I always tell them, listen, God is not interested in where you've been. He is interested in where you are. Amen? The blood of Jesus can take care of anywhere you've been. Anywhere you've been. Say anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. And anything you've done, the blood of Jesus can take care of it. God wants you to love him. And people say, hey, when I come to church, do I have to stop cussing? Well, no, I'm just kidding. You know, or do I have to stop drinking? Do I have to stop doing this? Do I have to stop doing that? Listen, get your mind off all of that stuff and get your heart, your soul, and your mind on loving God. Because here's the thing that happens. When you start loving God and letting God love you, you don't have to change. You want to change. Amen? And how many know it's a complete difference from having to do something and wanting to do something? You know, it's a different life. It's a totally different life. And some people miss that because they're all about the rules and not loving God. And God said, listen, the most important thing is that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. In James chapter 4, verse number 4 and 5, let's look there real quick. We're going to close up here in a minute because I promise I get you guys out and somebody's getting a phone call. Where's James? I think they moved it. James, where'd you go? Okay, I really can't find James. Hold on. I'll find it. If I don't, Angel will find it first. Ah, got it. In James chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. It says, you guys ready? Now this is a tough one a little bit. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? And you know what you say? Well, man, that sounds like a harsh verse. Here's what that's saying. It's saying the spirit that's in us yearns jealously. It means God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he yearns to pull you out of all that stuff that's going to cause you pain and hurt in your life. That's the love of God. He's saying, listen, you guys who are over in all that stuff, he goes, my heart, I yearn jealously for you because I want to love you and I want you to know how much I love you. It's like he's saying, you're so much better than all that stuff. God has a life for you that when you know him and love him, you find out just how great he is. You know, so often we want to say, Lord, this is the plan for my life. Bless it. Anybody ever do that? Like, Lord, this is what I want to do. Bless it. Instead of saying, Lord, I want your plan for my life because I know it's already blessed.
Right.
Amen. You know, following the plan God has for you has a whole lot less cleanup, has a whole lot less roadblocks, has a whole lot less trouble, and it's already blessed. Say, well, how do I find out what that is? Know him and love him. That's what it's all about. Why am I here? I got three more reasons, but I'm only going to give you one. Why am I here? To know God and to love God. When you get that one down, everything else just kind of evens out. You see more clearly, you live more fully, and you live with so much less guilt and condemnation. Because all that stuff, God's not into that. We need to just surrender and say, Lord, I don't know. You know, there's some of you guys in here, you don't know God very well. But you know, that can change very quickly. And all you got to do is open up your heart to him and say, Lord, I want to love you. I want to know you. The Bible says when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Now, some are like, well, why doesn't God just do it? You ever think that? Why doesn't God just do it? Because God will not violate your will. You have the choice to choose the life you want to live. You have that choice. No one else does. And God honors your choice. But when you say, Lord, I want to know you and I want to love you, he's right there to fill you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you want us to know you. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that they would make a decision today to open up their hearts to you. That they would say yes to the greatest gift ever given, Jesus. If you're here today, just for a minute, and you say, you know, I don't really know God very well. I don't even know him at all. Or all I know is what I heard from religion. But I want to find out the truth about God. I want to find out what God says about God. I want to learn about Jesus and how he lived and what he did. Because when I learn about Jesus, I learn about God. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I want to open my heart up to God. I want to know him and I want to love him. And I want to find out more about him. If that's you and nobody looking around just for a second, you're just making a decision today to say, I want to know more about God. I just want, just wherever you're sitting, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get up. You don't have to move around. You don't have to do anything. Just right where you are, just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to find out about you. I want to find out just how much you love me. Just how much you love me. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And for those of you who are ready to take even the next step and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to give him all. I'm ready to take the plunge. I want to give him all of me for all of him. All my hang-ups, my hiccups, everything, everywhere I've been, everything I've done, I want to give it to God. And I want to receive in return his love, his mercy, his salvation for me. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to enter into a relationship with God the Father today. If that's you, with nobody looking around, just for a second, I'm going to count to three and I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down. Nothing like that. You say, why do I got to raise my hand? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. When you raise your hand, you make a decision. And how many know decisions require action? And so if you're here today on the count of three, just raise your hand up and say, that's me. I want to go all in today. I want to give all of me to all of God. One, two, three, if that's you. I see your hand, man. I see your hand in the back. See it here. See it in the front. Anybody else? I want to give all of me to all of God. I may not feel worth it. I may not feel worthy, but I know God's love can clean up anywhere I've been and anything I've done. He loves you. Anybody else? Let's say a prayer real quick for those who raised their hand. Let's all say this real loud because we want the people who raised their hand to know that we're with them. Say, Father God, I'm all in. I give everything to you in exchange for all of you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came. He died, he rose again, all so I could live. I receive salvation this morning. I'm forgiven, I'm set free, I got a new life. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Oh, he's so good. He's so good. And he loves you so much. Now listen, if you raised up your hand today, don't leave here. I know sometimes we can get embarrassed. Believe me, I understand that. I can get embarrassed too. We can get embarrassed. And so you know what? I'm going to have Pastor Devon right here. Wave your hand. Nice looking guy in the back there. He's going to have some packets. He's going to grab them from the Connection Center. And they just got some information in there. So when you walk by, just be like, hey, give me one. And he'll hand you one. You don't have to get all, you know, nothing. You can do that, or you can come down here and we'll pray for you and give you a big hug and welcome you to the family. Wherever you're comfortable at, that's where God wants to meet you. Amen? And so whichever, you can go to the back, see Pastor Devon, just real slick on the way out, or you can come down here and we'll be happy to do that. We're going to play the announcements for you and let you know what's going on at BBC. So everybody listen up so you don't miss out on anything.